Good afternoon. This is Kathleen McCoy, and you're listening to Hometown Alaska. And we have a great show for you this afternoon, something you've never heard before because we've never done this before. We are going to have two musicians play for you today. Kevin Barnett, who is the creator of our lead song that you can hear in the background here, Lead Dog, which is our theme music, and BJ Lederman, who's joining us from across the continent in West Virginia. These two musicians who create music that makes pictures in your mind, that sets the theme for shows on the radio, they're going to be playing for us today. Also, we have Josh Edge is in the studio with us today. He's a videographer. He's going to capture Kevin Barnett as he plays for us. And way over there on the East Coast, BJ has a videographer in his studio. And so later on KSKA.org, you'll be able to see some of this musicianship happen right here in our studio. So welcome to Hometown Alaska. Hello, Kevin.
Hello. How are you doing, Kathleen?
I'm so pleased to have you here. It's a thrill to have the creator of the theme music for Hometown Alaska sitting right in our studio. And BJ, welcome to Hometown Alaska from across the continent.
Welcome, Kathleen. I'm actually not in West Virginia because I'd sound like this. I'm in Virginia Beach, Virginia. That's
oh, the
in the state
part.
Of Virginia.
Okay.
The
All
hip
right.
part of Virginia, which is Norfolk, Virginia Beach. I'm in Norfolk, actually.
Norfolk.
Coming to you from the studios of WHRO, WHRV, thanks to Bert Schmidt, general manager.
Thank and you both sound beautiful. So what we want to do is go to music as fast as we can. So I want to let people hear from Kevin Barnett. I want to tell the story about Lead Dog, just right up real quick, because it is the theme song for Hometown Alaska. And Kevin has a great story about what that song means to him. So why don't you share that with us?
Well, when I was working on my album, I was looking for themes in that. And one day when I had a new replacement piano brought to the house, my dog got out. And three different classes at Bungalow School in Eagle River were trying to chase after her. And she even jumped over a couple teachers. Well, when she got back in the car, I forgot I had left my window open to the other door trying to scream for her. And she jumped. She barely touched the inside of the chair of the truck, and she jumped right out. I clocked her doing about 35 miles an hour chasing after her.
She's a husky and a what? She's
Saluki mix.
A Saluki mix, which is like a greyhound kind of?
Yeah.
So really, really swift, right? So that's what Lead Dog means to you.
Yeah.
To us, it's the opening of our show. I talked to the folks who selected it, and they thought it sounded like, you know, words were going to be coming, conversation was going to be coming, people would be gathering and talking, and that's why they loved it so much. And so they contacted Kevin and found out that, indeed, with some arrangement, it could be our theme song. So it's just fun how that, it's very Alaskan, which is another reason why I think we like it so much. Who doesn't, you know, love dogs here in Alaska? So it's perfect for Hometown Alaska. BJ, I wanted to ask you, you have created so many songs or lead-ins to shows that are so popular. I mean, things like, you know, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and Morning Edition, and Weekend Edition, and Marketplace, and Car Talk. And I want you to tell us a little bit about something you created and why that was the right thing for that particular show.
Well, the first thing I did, and it was over 30 years ago, I can't believe it, was Morning Edition. I was a student at American University in Washington, and a close friend of mine, Skip Peasy and Jerry Peasy. Skip was working as a chief engineer at NPR, and he said, "Hey, BJ, they got a new morning news show, and they don't have a theme yet. You want to try for a demo?" And so I demoed the thing, and it was a very cheesy four-track demo I did, but they loved it. And just before it was done, Jim Russell was the original producer of the show. And he used to take this cassette tape. Yes, kids, cassettes. Ask your parents what a cassette is. He used to take the cassette into the creative meetings in the morning and say, you know, we don't have a show yet, but this is what we like the music to sound like. And he left the show just a few months before it went on the air, and the new producer, Jay Kernis, got the tape from Jim. Luckily, Jim, I guess, gave him the tape, yeah, and said, "We like this theme music, use it." And Jay was kind enough to take Jim's advice, and that's why we're talking today. So
that's incredible.
It's been through three different iterations. You know, every few years, NPR used to come and
freshens it up.
Freshen up the beat. So the way it is now, if you'd like me to play a little bit of
yes, do theme do play a little bit.
It goes like this. Jazz it up a bit. The news.
Hey, speaking of that, I want people to know they can call in and talk to you and Kevin if they want. So let me give the numbers for folks to call in. This is a call-in, and if you've got questions for Kevin or you've got questions for BJ, call 550-8433, or if you're outside of Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And I want you to know this is going to be broadcast again tonight at 7, but it's not live, so this is the time to call in with your questions or send us an email to hometownalaska@ksk.org.
Kathleen, how are they going to know that it's not live then if you ask them to call the number then? How are they going to know? They're going to call anyway, right?
Well,
I'm confused.
There's no one to answer the phone if they call at 7. So that's why we encourage them to call now.
Be really mad.
No.
I'd be mad.
No. Okay. I think they're just lucky to get to hear you again. So
Anchorage, I'm pulling her leg. I love to pull people's legs, especially when I'm over here in West Virginia, and she can't do anything about it.
So why was that the perfect theme for Morning Edition?
Well, the money was right.
For you.
I'm sorry.
Why did they like it?
Okay, here's what the deal was. They said... And you have to remember, those of you who are over 30, 40-something, 50-something years old, back then...
That's a lot of people.
And even now, a lot of the public stations in the morning, 5 or 6 o'clock, they're coming out of classical music programming. Mm-hmm. And so the deal was I had to create something that was light. And in fact, the very first iteration of this had some sort of pseudo-classical piece that I put together with a clavinet and a flute and, you know. And then it sort of whooshed together like a time machine. It was actually something I learned from the Beatles. It was, we turned the tape over. I did a cymbal roll that started a crash, and rolled very quietly. And then when you turn the tape, you know, right side up and played it, this came from nowhere. You know, it's almost like Strawberry Fields, you know.
Yeah.
Paul is, I buried Paul. And then we were into, you know, where was it? In a different key then, and so it was a transition piece. So it accomplished the task. It started out light, and they said, you know, when you get to the main theme, it shouldn't blare. It should be like, okay, it's another day.
The sun
the earth
came
is still
up again.
Spinning. Yeah, the earth is still spinning. Let's start fresh.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. And I guess
without scaring
I bullseyed
people.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about Morning Edition. I want people to know that at KSKA.org, there's a link on the NPR site with a poem that you wrote, I guess, to Morning Edition. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Could it be the lyrics to the
Maybe
Morning Edition
theme?
Maybe
it's the lyrics. And they can hear it and hear that, the lyric. And it's a lot about, I don't want to get out of bed, I think. Isn't that
right.
in
it? It just starts, the two lines, and then they can click themselves. But it's, Oh, I hate to get up in the morning. Please don't wake me up this morning. Let me stay in bed and sleep. So they love that at NPR.
Well, that's on our website, and you know, just lots of information to BJ's website. There's a wonderful video there where you're sitting on, looks like your stoop of your house. I don't know.
And it was the stoop of my house before I got stupid and sold the stupid house.
Oh, it's a cute little house, and you roll through all these wonderful themes that we recognize, and I would really recommend it. So go to kska.org and you'll find that link. And you know, we also have Love and Dog Music, which is Kevin Barnett's website, and you can sort of learn about Kevin. And we have a Q&A there with Kevin when we added his tune to Hometown Alaska. We did a little Q&A with him. So, but anyway,
I want to say something about Kevin's album, if I could.
Please do.
I had not heard of Kevin's music until, you know, now. And so before I came over here, I downloaded, Kevin, you have a new download, that's me. I downloaded his album, and the second cut on there, What's it called?
Highland Mountain.
Sorry, Highland Mountain.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's love. I mean, it harkened me back to, you know, the school of Joe Sample and stuff. A lot of your stuff did. I haven't heard the whole album yet because the drive wasn't that long, but it's gorgeous. So if you haven't heard Kevin's album, I would highly advise you to go to, I got it on iTunes. You can get it wherever he says to get it, but get it.
BJ and Kevin, we have a caller, and I'd love to include her in this conversation. So Louise. Hello.
Hi. I'd like to know how would a young composer go about submitting a demo to NPR, and what advice would you give them if there are such opportunities available?
Is that directed to anybody, to BJ?
I guess she would. Well, here's the first thing you should know. I'm not employed by NPR, but I can't answer that question. There are a lot of shows that are produced by the member stations, your station, our station here, excuse me, and a lot of shows that are in the works, and you can find out online through current.org. That's a newspaper that puts out, you know, who's doing what. A lot of different sites will say what's in the works now. And often you can call the producer and say you're a composer, you'd like to submit a demo for the show, and then just talk about what their needs are, what they want the music to sound like. I sometimes get as specific as asking them, okay, you know, tell me some songs or for some albums or some bands that you like or don't like, and what your audience is and that kind of thing. And then you can create something that they can listen to. And the magic is, if you create a piece of music that they can't live without, even it doesn't have to be beautifully produced or anything. But if you create a melody and a feeling that adequately describes the show that they're putting together, or new music for an established show, you know, because they may be tired of their music, then you've got them. You have got them.
It really reminds me of something that happened here, which was when we called Kevin to see if we could use Lead Dog, he sat down and worked up something that he thought might be suitable, and I'm wondering if you could play a little bit of that for us. It was a little bit of his idea of what Alaska might sound like. Louise, did you get help with your question, or do you want to?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling Hometown Alaska, Louise. So I don't know if this tune has a name, but when I heard it, I also thought it sounded like a town just north of Anchorage where mountain climbers tend to gather, and
like Talkeetna, yeah. The lodge. That's what I was thinking when I wrote this tune.
So give us a little bit of it, and listeners, let us know whether you think this sounds like the Alaska you know.
So picture me sitting at an out of tune upright piano. You're in the Talkeetna Lodge, and a friend of mine called Jim Brisky named this tune, and he named it "Smoked Salmon Honky Tonk Blues."
Smoked Salmon Honky Tonk Blues. Okay.
Thank you.
That is so fun. I feel like I'm in Talkeetna and it's Friday night. No question about it.
This guy can play.
Oh, yeah.
He can really play.
Well, I mean, let's tell people a little bit about you in case they don't know. I mean, you had a long career in the military as a musician, and that's how you got to Alaska, right?
Yeah. I spent 21 years, 2 months, 16 days, and 4 hours in the Air Force Band.
You're not counting, are you?
I loved it. I would have stayed in longer, but they told me I'd start moving every 2 years again, and my wife would have given up a third retirement, so I felt we were kind of chasing our tail. But in fact, the guy that talked me into joining the Air Force Band is retiring in Washington, D.C. this May, and I'm going to go out and visit him. Mm. Hopefully he's not listening right now because it's supposed to be a surprise.
Uh-oh. Well, and you do a lot of music in Anchorage, like Chill. You play with Chill Factor, is that right? And
yeah.
And you teach. I mean, you're just, you've got a studio out in Eagle River. You produce other people. I mean, you're really one of the pillars here in the music community, right?
Well, I'm trying to get to know everybody. Mm-hmm. I've only been out of the Air Force for 6 years, so I'll come home and sometimes mention a musician's name, and my wife is like, "You just finally met them."
Well, that's great. And you teach people from what?
The youngest I've taken on as a student was 3 years old, and the oldest was 67.
So there you go. Spans everything. So I wonder if you guys might want to play something for us together. Now, I want to tell people we have Kevin Barnett in our studio. We have B.J. Lederman in WHOR. Virginia.
W-H-R-O.
W-H-R-O.
Are you dyslexic, Kathleen?
I think I am. Say it again, BJ.
This is W-H-R-O, W-H-R-V, and they've got two more stations. They're buying cities in Gloucester. They're just buying up these stations. It's great. Now they're expanding. And W-H-R-O, W-H-R-V will do it in Norfolk and Hampton Roads.
And so, you know, you're 5,000 miles away, but through the miracle of technology, we're going to hear you guys play together. What would you like
to
do?
You want to start that nice little soft piece in G minor that we were doing before and have you follow me on that
thing? Oh, sure.
Impossible. It, theoretically, we're not should be able to do that.
That's
this
right.
is a delay here. I think it's Kevin that is compensating for the delay. I think it's you, buddy.
It's so fun. It's just so fun. And we're going to have pictures, video of Kevin playing in our studio, and we hope to get some images of you playing in your studio and put them up on KSK.org later today.
So far, my iPad is still blinking at me over here, so I can do a check, sync check, and yeah, we have video.
That's great.
Doesn't look pretty over here because it's just pointing at me, but what do you want?
Hey, we're going to be happy to see those pictures when we do. So I just want our listeners to know they can call and participate in this fun thing that we're doing here. It's 550-8433 in Anchorage or 888-353-5752 if you're out of town. And you can email us.
In Virginia Beach is 88994. I'm sorry, we were just doing our fun drive and I was teaching them how to sing it as a jingle.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it helped. It worked because people in the car, you know, couldn't write it down. They're thinking, 8899476. Yeah,
that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
That's a great
so,
idea.
Or send us an email to hometownalaska@ksk.org and let us know if you have questions for these guys. One of the things I wanted to talk to Kevin a little bit, and BJ, I want you to just chime in here. The album that you did, Alpenglow, the songs all have real Alaskan themes, and you talk about, or our website I read about you, talks about tone poems. And what are you getting at? I mean, when you write something that's called Highland Mountain, are you seeing the mountain?
The mountain is the mountain that's right across from our house. We live in the Eagle River Valley area, and we're across on the opposite side of that mountain range, looking right at Highland Mountain. And sometimes we'll see clouds below us, and sometimes clouds above us, and it has a different character every day. So.
And you turn that into music.
Yeah.
So how do you turn that into music? I mean, do you feel something inside? What happens?
I try to put visual images of myself. At one point, I was trying to think of, you know, you're getting lost in that canyon over there in Eagle River. And then another point, maybe you actually have the audacity to try to go off the face of that mountain and ski down it. But I try to put all these visual images, much like a movie, and try to emulate the feeling that you would get on that.
Yeah. And that turns into notes, and that turns into music.
I try to do the best I can.
Well, it does. Obviously, you have a whole album. BJ, does that make sense to you? Is that how you do it? When you have to do something for Marketplace, how do you do it?
It's a little different, I think, when you're doing something, you know, in the jingle vein, because the constructions are much tighter. You know, they've got their people with the focus groups and telling them this, that, and the other. And I say, look, guys, I can't read music. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about speaking musical terminology to me. Just tell me what you want the music to sound like in a sentence or two. So Marketplace will come back and say, international finance. And I'll, you know, I'll go, okay, yeah, fine, I can do that. And I hang up the phone and I, you know, scream a couple of expletives to my doggy, who's over there in the corner biting his fingernails, going, oh, God, I hope he can do this one.
Dad's upset.
And so, you know, but I get that. I mean, luckily, I can turn English language into music, you know, so as a... And in the piece, there's all kinds of, you know, international sounding percussion, and I think there's some sitar down there. It's all me on a synthesizer, by the way.
Really?
Wow. Yes, and I heard it the first time a couple of weeks ago when I was in San Diego with an orchestra.
Oh, we want to talk about Orchestra Nova. Yeah.
It was a crazy thing. 2 years ago, conductor Jung Ho Park was in Virginia guest conducting our Virginia Symphony. And he took me backstage and said, you know, in 2011, in the spring, we're going to be doing a night of just a whole night of the theme music, you know, the jingles of public TV shows and public radio shows. And would I like to be a part of that? I said, sure. And he said, do you have the scores for this stuff? I said, sure. And then I said, you know, I can play piano on this thing, and I look pretty groovy, and, you know, in the vans and stuff. And he said, you want to come play piano on this stuff? I said, sure. And then, you know, a year and a half went by, and time flies, and then he calls me up 2 months ago and says, we're about ready to start this thing. We have three performances, three different places in San Diego. Do you have the scores? I said, sure. And then we hung up the phone, and I went, oh, my gosh.
Because it was in your head. Yeah.
Well, I know I had this envelope had been sitting in my house for 3 months and I did not open it. I opened it up and the scores were there, but they weren't the right versions.
Mm.
So I had to call Jim Pugh, who was the wonderful man that NPR put me in touch with years ago to arrange Morning Edition and then Weekend Edition, the second and third packages of that. And he got to work with his student, Scott Nimner. I can spell it, but I can't pronounce it. Mm-hmm. And they basically reconfigured, you know, from scratch. They reverse engineered from the sound files these scores.
Wow.
So two weeks ago, basically I was on stage with the orchestra's a mid-sized orchestra. They're able to do edgy things. But toward the end of this thing, they did a 5-minute medley of Morning Edition, Weekend Edition, Marketplace, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and Stump the Chumps from Inside Car Talk. And I was on stage, you know, just demolishing a piano with them. And it was the most exciting thing that's happened to me, and it's sort of the bellwether of a second career here I've got to follow.
It sounds like it. It must be amazing to play with a full orchestra.
It's something.
Be.
And, you know, in the studio in New York when we were putting these things together, we did it, you know, multi-track, section by section. So there was... you know, a small horn section, you know, small string section, and they would double or triple track it, and then a guitar player would come in and sax or flute would overdub that.
Yeah.
But to hear it and to be on stage in the middle of it.
That's amazing. It must just wash over you.
Yes.
And how does the audience react? Do they, I mean, you don't get to do it in front of an audience very often.
Never. Well, yeah. You know, I sometimes when I'm playing in bars,
You wouldn't know about that, Kevin, right?
Nightclubs. Yeah, Kevin, you wouldn't know about that at all, would you?
I'm too young for that.
Some intelligent, you know, beautiful, wonderful, good-looking person would ask me, hey, would you play Morning Edition? And so, or, you know, would you play, you know, Weekend Edition? And I say, yeah, I'll play it for you. You must know something. You listen to NPR. You're cool. But no, with an orchestra, I'm hearing it in my head, but in San Diego. So it was such a kick. And by the way, KPBS videotaped it. So watch your, you know, public broadcasting station and
probably air it.
An hour show during, you know, fun drives from here to eternity, hopefully.
And we'll get to see you in the video.
Hopefully you'll get to see me live because, yeah. A, Jung Ho Park is going to be traveling the show around the country and guest conducting symphonies, and B, B.J. Lederman wants to come to Alaska and with his rock band and his yet-to-be-released debut album, either called Life at the Bottom of the Dial or Radio Public. So help bring B.J. Lederman to Alaska so, you know, I can play with you all and all your good musicians there. Nice.
Oh, we would be so up for that. We would love that. So, folks, if you've just joined us, that's B.J. Lederman, the guy that makes all those wonderful sound bits for, you know, the music you hear on public radio. And in the studio with me is Kevin Barnett. And we're going to take a little break. But during the break, you're going to be hearing Lead Dog, which is the tune that Kevin has allowed us to use on Hometown Alaska. So give it a good listen because it's a different portion than what you normally hear at the top of the show. So I'm Kathleen McCoy, and this is Hometown Alaska.
If you missed part of today's program, or if you'd like to listen again to Hometown Alaska on KSKA, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. A copy of Hometown Alaska will be available this afternoon on our website at kska.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. That was a longer version of Lead Dog, and we even had Kevin Barnett in the studio adding to that. That was very fun.
Kevin, you were playing on that while they were doing it?
Yeah, at the same time.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous. That's a cool cut. I like that.
Oh, it's very energetic and really fun. I want you guys to play some more of the second half of our show, Hometown Alaska. If you've just joined us, it's B.J. Lederman from WHRO in
Hampton
Virginia.
Rhodes.
Hey, BJ, I think we should stick to the dog theme.
Like, as in Snoopy?
Yeah.
Hey, that's a great idea. That's Kevin Barnett you're hearing. All right, are we going to hear a little bit of that?
I'll start. You follow?
I sure will.
Since I hear my echo in your land, that's a good idea. Here we
okay.
go.
Okay. Thank you.
pick it now.
I just wish people could be sitting in my seat. It's so fabulous to sit here and listen to you guys play. That is just great.
So, BJ, you sure you don't need an extra keyboard player on that tour there?
Actually, I do. When I come to your hometown, I would like it. You know, I need an extra keyboard player in the band, you know. You know, Yoko's not playing in the band anymore, so, you know, I need an extra keyboard player. My iPad keeps falling off the thing. It's too bad. We'll
get something from it. So, you know, you guys came to music differently. I mean, it sounds like Kevin was crawling up on his grandmother's knee to get to the piano or something like that, and you were, you know, supposed to walk to your music lessons and wouldn't go. So I'd like to hear you guys, because, I mean, there's people listening who think, I want to do what these guys do. How do you get to where you are now? So, Kevin, just tell us a little bit about how you started in music.
Well, I remember going over to my great aunt's house and being babysat by her and admiring that big old white upright piano and begging her to play something for me. And then she'd lift me up and try to show me stuff. And whenever there was a piano somewhere, I tried to get her or my mom or someone to show me how to play it because I was really intrigued in how that thing worked. And then I started formal lessons at 7. I really didn't want to start piano right away. I really wanted to play that big pipe organ in church. But my dad, being old school cellist part-time in the Green Bay Symphony, said, no, you need to take piano for 5 to 6 years first. So when I got to 5 years or so, I looked up at him and said, Dad, you said I could take organ. He goes, yep, you can. I thought piano was our way. He goes, oh, no, in this house, we're old school. As long as you take any instrument, you will always practice and take piano lessons. And I'm thankful to...
I would say it took real well with you. You can play. But BJ, your story is different, right? You were supposed to take lessons and you didn't want to?
Well, yeah, you know, I was taking from, my piano teacher down the street. And I had to walk to the lesson. I didn't like that at all. If it was all the same to you, that is. So... But the point is, you know, she was teaching me the classical stuff, the sonatine. You know, I really wasn't into it. So we struck a bargain. She would teach me one Beatles song. Every time I did a classical piece, she would buy an arrangement of something that was in the stores at the time, you know, and try to teach me that. And the problem was the arrangements, as Kevin probably knows, especially back then, they've gotten better. But back then, the arrangements were awful. And so I would be listening to the Beatles songs, you know, myself and picking them up by ear. And I would say, no, they don't sound like that. They're supposed to go like, you know, like this. Wonder how you managed to make ends meet. And then finally, you know, she called me mom and said, you know, Diane, take this boy out of here. He doesn't belong here anymore.
You're listening to BJ Lederman, even though you think it's Paul McCartney or something like that.
No, it's channeling John. Paul's more up like this.
Okay.
And then George is, you know, he always, I do that, but it would be wrong. And then there's always Ringo. Yeah. Sorry, I'm over it. I'm done.
You guys are great. So if anybody has questions for BJ Lederman or Kevin Barnett, give us a call at 550-8433 in Anchorage or 888-353-5752 or send us an email to hometownalaska@ksk.org. And do visit our website because we've got some fun stuff on there. You'll find out more about BJ Lederman. You'll find out more about Kevin Barnett and the wonderful music tradition at public radio. What's that, BJ?
Please, this is new to me, all this stuff. People calling me. In San Diego, at the end of the concert, they sat me down and people were standing in line for my autograph. And I'm just thinking to myself, what is happening to me? You know, I'm 55 years old. I don't have an album out and people want my autograph. So I would like to have some Facebook friends. Can you Facebook me and say that you heard me on Anchorage?
I'll be your Facebook friend. And all you listeners out there, listen to BJ.
And tweet me. I don't even know how to work this Twitter thing. And all these people are following me. You know, I'm kind of paranoid. I don't know why these people are following me.
Because they like your music.
Well, and you're halfway at 110, too. You got to learn that technology.
Yeah, stay with it.
That's a great title for a song, Kevin.
Yeah, halfway to 110.
Really,
I like that. Yeah. What does that sound like, Kevin? Let's see.
Halfway to 110. Halfway. When I reach it, don't know when. I'm gonna try. Yeah, let's go there. Because I'm halfway to 110. Yeah.
Very fun. I think people like you because you're fun, and this music is fun, and I don't know, it's just so lively. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. You know? Some of my friends said, what did you do all day while I was at work? I was like, I worked on music.
Oh, I told them I took drugs. I'm kidding you.
Well,
like me because I'm a cartoon character. I'm just like, you know, T-Bert. How many things can fingers do?
Well, we actually have some callers, so we want to give them a chance to talk to you guys. Now, Kevin, you live in Eagle River, and we have a caller from Eagle River, and his name is Kevin. So, hello, Kevin. You're on the air with Hometown Alaska.
Hey, big fan of Kevin and actually BJ. I love Alpenglow and BJ Lederman, probably with the soundtrack of my life. But now, the two of you together, I've got to ask, and also probably for the producer of Hometown Alaska, how are you guys compensating for satellite delay? This is amazing.
Well, we have our fingers crossed.
We're not.
A lick and a promise.
There's a good second there.
Yeah.
There's a good second different. I can hear it coming back in my headset, although that could be, you know, what you call the residual feedback from the monitoring system. I don't know. George Martin, you're in the other booth. Could you tell me what it is?
Well, part of it's learning how to deal with that latency when digital recording first came out.
Yeah.
Just went for it.
It's a pain.
So you're a little used to it. You've been...
I don't think you ever get used to it. You just get better at guessing where you're at.
Kevin in Eagle River, does it sound good to you? Does it sound good coming across the radio?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So you don't hear anything funky about it.
No, it's in sync.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
Kevin, is my voice a sexy voice? She says I have a nice sexy radio voice. Do you think so too?
Time for the piano bar.
Oh yes.
Good evening, and welcome to Slaggers. Coming to you from Anchorage, Alaska.
So
oh,
Kevin,
man, we could make such a team. Somebody book us in Alaska. Give me a flight. I'll fly up there, and Kevin and I will play, like, next week.
Oh, it'd be so much fun.
Plan on going fishing with us when you get up here.
Yeah.
Do I have to go in a boat, or can we just do the ice thing?
Oh, there's no ice in the summer.
You keep telling me it's what you know, definitely contribute to their pledge drive, because these guys, it's too warm there. They need cold. They need some air conditioners in their studio.
Well, we could take you to some glaciers and have you thaw.
We could lay on a glacier for a while and chill out.
I would love that. Yeah. I just get seasick in boats. I live on the East Coast, you know, on a beautiful bay on the Atlantic Ocean. All of my friends have boats. They're all inviting me to their boat. I can't look at a boat without getting green. You know, and
Well, you can fish from the shore. We'll let you fish from the shore.
I'd love that.
So, Kevin, did you have any more questions for these guys?
I was just going to say, if this is what it takes to get you up here, we'll build a barge out of plywood and paint it white.
All right. You've got some fans here for sure, BJ.
Thank you very much.
And I want to take Leslie. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's your question?
Well, it's not a question. I just have to tell you, BJ, that I'm verklempt.
You've verklempt? My mother would love that.
I came to Alaska in 1978, which is when KSKA came on the air. And so I'm one of the original members of KSKA. And you have started my morning for 30 years.
Wow.
And it's fabulous to hear a voice.
That's so great.
And I know, and I'm so excited that you're playing with Kevin, because Kevin is a wonderful musician. We are so blessed to have him in our state. And
yep.
I just am moved by the music that the two of you are playing together long distance. And it would be fabulous to have you both in concert together up here.
Well, need to do is call the general manager, whose name is? Whose
Steve
name
Lindbeck?
Is? Thank
okay,
you.
Okay.
Everybody in listening range, call Steve and say, yes, we want BJ to come to Alaska and play with Kevin. And maybe even with the symphony, you know, get that gig happening, and we'll make it happen.
Our symphony, our concert association.
We have a wonderful symphony. We have a wonderful symphony. Yeah, we do.
Well, no, this is all planned for the fall. So
all my friends in Lower 48 that are streaming this, you guys need to call in too.
Yeah, yeah.
So thank you both for gracing our days and making our days begin and end with your presence.
Thank you so much.
Here, Leslie, that's great.
I appreciate it. It warms the cockles of my heart.
It does. Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you.
And JC, you're on Hometown Alaska.
Yeah, I just have a few questions for Kevin. One of the questions that I have is, he seems like a pretty humble guy to be, you know, such a talented musician. And so I was wondering how, as a professional, he keeps kind of that sense of humility and groundedness that he seems to have. Another question is, you know, with giving lessons and all of that, I know that some of the musicians I know, they're going to be quitting giving lessons because they want to move more into the professional world. So I'm wondering how he, you know, carves time and space in his life in order to compose, you know, given that he's teaching lessons and all the other things he probably does. And then the last thing is, how essential does he think it is to know other instruments to do composing, like what another instrument can do, or do you not need to know that anymore in order to compose? So those are my
big questions
for Kevin right now.
Did you write all this down, Kevin? I'm lost at the.
This is a lecture you're going to be
doing. Your humble part. I got lost at your humble.
I wrote them down in case.
Oh, I hope I remember them all. Well, as far as the more instruments you play, it's always beneficial. Sometimes just being aware of what the player has to deal with on that instrument, the limitations and all that kind of stuff, really help you out. As a arranger, I did a lot of arranging, orchestration, stuff like that for Mirror Studios for documentaries. And anytime I can learn something about another instrument, it always helps me out in the future. As far as students, about 3 or 4 years ago, I was up to 40 students, and I just woke up one day and said, the main reason why I retired from the Air Force Band and slowed down a little bit was to do more composing than that. So I only take on about 8 to 10 students a week, a few students on Wednesday afternoon, and then I do most of my teaching on Thursdays. So I have time for myself to write. I get involved in a lot of other recording projects or as a music director or stuff like that too. So you just kind of have to look ahead your schedule and put it on the calendar and say, hey, from 9 to 10, I'm going to write or I'm going to do this or that.
Discipline. Yes,
yeah.
Is that easy to do? Or, I mean, is it easy to say, I'm going to do this between 9 and 10? Or do you, I mean, what do you do if you don't feel inspired? Do you just do it anyway because it's a discipline? Or
sometimes I do. Other times I might do something else, and then when the idea comes, I wrote one tune at one point where I promised my wife I'd have the whole house cleaned and dinner ready for her, and we ended up going out to eat because I wrote two tunes that day.
Was she happy? Or
She's like, oh, that's Kev. Then yesterday I spent 4.5 hours with a fellow songwriter. She has rubysongs.com, and we wrote about 3/4 of a tune, lyrics, music, and everything. And so sometimes I'll schedule stuff if I'm writing with a partner. Other times it just happens, and you wake up in the middle of the night, and you have to write.
It's just there.
And it haunts you, and you can't sleep anyway. So you might as well get up and get it over with. And I having a field recorder really helps. Like one of those little Zoom, sometimes I can just play it and then go back to sleep and work on another day.
And it's there in the morning when you wake up. Yeah,
I have probably about 100 or 200 little Zoom ideas that I have to filter through every once in a while. Oh, yeah, I remember playing that back when.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
Same with me. I can answer your first question for you about him.
About being humble?
Yes, about being humble. And this is basically a rule among professional musicians. The better they are, the more humble they tend to be because their talent, their music speaks for them. They don't have to.
You know, B.J. Art Tatum used to always say, everybody has something to say musically.
And when they don't, they crow. Or they say things like, visit my website at bjlederman.com or Twitter me or Facebook me or this or that. And the other.
Okay. Well, because, like, for example, in the world, in other worlds, like the world of dancers or the world of theater, for example, it can become extremely cutthroat, and you can lose your sense of balance and your ability to really be a fine human being. And maybe it's different in the musical world because you have to have some skills, whereas maybe you don't. I don't know. Dancers have to have skills. Actors don't necessarily, but.
Well, you'll see that time to time, especially I remember when I was still on the road quite a bit. It was nothing like to see some old musicians, see some young cocky musicians coming right out of college or whatever and think they knew the whole world and see some old guy that looked like he couldn't even barely walk anymore just blow them away.
Kind of satisfying.
Yeah.
True.
All us young piano players and rhythm players got blown away by somewhere along the way. And I remember there was an older drummer when I was a teenager in early 20s I got to play with. His name was Joe Pep. And he got to play with Red Nichols and his Five Pennies. And he played for a while with Louis Armstrong.
Wow.
And he used to always say, just remember, Kev, there's always some young cocky guy that's going to take you off the piano bench. Just walk around the corner and they're just going to be there. And that was such words of wisdom.
Yeah. So, JC, did you get your questions answered? Because we have some interesting requests that have come in, and I want to give our musicians a chance to play with some of them. So, did you get your questions answered?
Yeah, I got my question answered. Thanks. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye, JC. So, we got a couple requests. One is from your niece, Katie, and she writes, "Hi, Uncle Kevin. This is your favorite niece, Katie. I'm listening to the show, and it is great. I think you should play Sesame Street. Great show. You two sound terrific together." And the other request, so that's one. There's a request from your niece for Sesame Street. But there's another request. And the caller says, please play some Boogie Woogie, some Boogie Blues, I think. So what can we do with that? Because we've got about, I don't know, 8 minutes or so left. What can we do?
Hey, BJ, you want to go off on some of that?
We can start, my favorite key, if you want to just...
Sure.
I don't know the lyrics.
a sunny day, chasing the clouds away.
See, there's the delay. Well, can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? Got us that time.
Yeah.
You felt it. You heard a little bit there, huh? Yeah.
It's a lot more prevalent when we're doing, you know, bounces,
yeah,
staccato
percussion stuff. Yeah. So just along those lines of creativity, I want to hear what you guys each have in your iPod, in your iPad or your iPod. What do you listen to? When you have to compose, or when you just have to clear your head, or just, you know, what do you do with music?
I got to look at it now, see what's all on there.
I don't have to look at it. I can tell you what's going on now in my musical world, and it's...
I changed mine constantly.
Hello. First of all, XTC is a band that I was turned on to a long time ago. They were very Beatly, and to me, and they're no longer. I mean, they don't make albums anymore, but... they sounded to me like what the Beatles would sound like had they all survived and gotten back together eventually in the studio. XTC. Everything from the album called Skylarking, which is one that Todd Rundgren was brought in as producer.
Oh, Todd Rundgren, one of
everything
my favorites.
From Skylarking onward. Crowded House, they're no longer doing albums, or they're on my iPod. Everything from, they did that song, Don't Dream It's Over, Hey Now. So they've got one called Woodface that's got ice will melt, water will boil, you and I will shake off this mortal coil. It's a fabulous album, Woodface. And of course, a new band whose name I can't quite remember, but Impossible Germany. Somebody tell me who wrote Impossible Germany. I love them. They're a bunch of old fogies like me, but they're playing for young kids, and I just love them. They're the hardest working band in Chicago.
Oh. How about you, Kevin? What's on your iPad?
Well, I have everything from Thelonious Monk to Black Eyed Peas, Debussy, a Schumann Toccato I'm working on. Yes, BJ, I still play some classical. I'm sorry, man.
Holy mosey. I'm shrinking in my seat.
It gets into things like, and you can, and I have some Chopin like this. Here's one for you. Of course, my piano teacher from college is probably dying that I did that to Chopin.
Rolling over the grave.
Babylon Sisters.
Nice.
Todd Rundgren, I love his Nearly Human album, the a cappella album. Oh, my God.
I was privileged enough to be living in New York City when he toured that at the Roseland Ballroom. I'd never been in Roseland. I walk in there, and there he is with this, you know, just 16 or 17 vocalists. And that was the evening. It was wonderful.
I get to see him about 3 or 4 times a year when I still lived in New England.
Okay, the band I'm in love with now is Wilco. I'm sorry, everybody's in love with Wilco.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, their latest album is called Wilco, the album. And, man, let me tell you, just start with Impossible Germany. It's a bonus track, Sky Blue Sky, but Wilco. They're wonderful, and they're not as huge as they should be. So listen to some Wilco after, of course, you listen to Kevin Barnett.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to think of, have you ever heard of Bad Haggis?
Nope, not yet, but I've had some.
The Piper that played for...
I'm sorry.
That's good. Piper that played for Braveheart put that together, and there's guys from South America, Germany, and you need to check them out because they go from
say the name again.
Bad Haggis.
Bad Haggis.
Sounds bad.
You know, we're going to have to get a new engineer because Perry's about falling out over here. Yeah. Can we get another engineer, WHRO, please? Replacement? You got him laughing so much.
You know, we only have about a minute or so left, so I'd love for you guys to go out playing something together. So would that work for you?
Could we
play? So what I want to tell folks is it's been a fabulous hour. Thank you, Kevin Barnett, for coming into the studio and playing
for
us.
Me.
And BJ Lederman from across the continent playing at WHRO. Thank
in
you
North
for
North Carolina.
In North
Virginia,
Carolina.
Somewhere.
Virginia, somewhere over there. And I want people to know that next week we have Senator Mark Begich on the show. So think of your questions. Get ready to ask him next Wednesday. Thanks to Kristen Spack for engineering today's very inventive show. And thanks for listening.
Thanks, Kristen.
Yes, thanks, Kristen. And I'm Kathleen McCoy. This is Hometown Alaska, and let's turn it over to the musicians and have some fun.
Kevin, you take it away with one of yours, and I'll follow, all right?
Oh, man, you're going to make me do that?
Please.
How's G minor for you?
G minor's great, as long as it's not in major minor constrabulation, seventh, ninth.
Yeah, we'll do that. Typical falling.
We'll be good.
It's,
Just do your thing.
The lead song from the album, Alpenglow.
By the way, nice talking to you and playing with you, Kevin.
You too, man.
It was fabulous. Thank you both.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Theme music for Hometown Alaska is Lead Dog, composed and performed by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Views expressed on Hometown Alaska are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Today's program is available on our website at kska.org, and CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.